This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, Julie Danilek is one of the most famous people that I know that I've ever sat on a board with. And she is a leading nutritionist and co-host of The Healthy Gourmet. And she's written a book called Meals That Heal Inflammation. Julie, welcome to the show.
You. That's the wildest intro I've heard in a very long time. Yeah, well, I really enjoyed my time on the CHFA board with you.
Yeah, well, it was fun.
Definitely.
Tell us a little bit about inflammation. What is inflammation? And, you know, we hear the word a lot, but what does it mean for the average person?
Well, inflammation is the body's emergency healing response. So it happens, the symptoms of inflammation being the redness, the heat, the swelling, the pain, and the loss of function, happens any time that you're having this massive emergency. Now, unfortunately, for a lot of people, the emergency never ends. Their inflammation switch stays on, and it means that their acute inflammation that's supposed to be resolved within 72 hours of having an insult ends up going on for an extremely long time, and that's when we see chronic disease states crop up, and that's anything from arthritis, bursitis, cystitis, diverticulitis, gastritis. I mean, you could literally write a rap song for every single itis that has happened in today's world, and I just want people to understand that if we get to the root cause underneath why you have that inflammation, if we can get back to the first initial insult, what happened for you that had you switch on the inflammation, and we get to that piece and truly resolve it with the foods that you eat, then we can have inflammation finally disappear. And I've seen miraculous healing in people who really did have very serious conditions.
Well, Julia, you know, I was skating around with my kids on the hockey rink, you know, in the winter, and I got hit with a puck right in the shin, and I got a big lump, and it took a long time to heal up. Are we talking about that kind of inflammation, or are we talking about more inflammation like tendonitis or arthritis, those kind of things?
Yeah, we're talking about it all. I mean, the fascinating thing is there's four major reasons why you have inflammation in the first place, and the number one being injury.
Right.
So in your case, you were hit. In somebody else's case with tendonitis, it might be that they just overused that in really poor posture over and over so many times that the tendon itself became injured. For other people, it's the fact that they ate something that was extremely toxic to them, and they had an injury in their gut lining. So everyone has these different insults, but the core reasons why you have them are seriously like either a physical impact injury, or sometimes it could be an emotional injury where something is so dramatic, like the death of a loved one, that you have this huge emotional trauma, and that causes your immune system to crash, and you have the result of inflammation. Another one would be infections. So when you get an infection, that causes physical trauma inside wherever that infection is raging, and your body immediately launches a huge attack. The inflammation response is there to try to fight off that infection. So that's the second leading cause of inflammation. And then the other two are a little more subtle, and those would be that you have a massive nutritional imbalance caused by eating really refined foods, and you're missing critical nutrients to rebuild your tissues. So say you eat nothing but junk food, and you're hit in the shin with that puck, you wouldn't necessarily have all of the key amino acids and enzymes and you know, essential fatty acids to rebuild that tissue, and that's why we end up with a delay in our ability to heal. So nutritional imbalances play a massive role, and nutritional imbalances also cause you to have hormonal imbalances. So the other major part of the healing equation is how do we balance your hormones so that you can get your inflammation response under control. And last but not least is even if something seems harmless, pollen, you know, eating dairy, something like that, if you have either a genetic predisposition to an allergy, or unfortunately your immune system's already tipped because of toxicity or whatever infection you've had, you may end up with severe food allergies. And if you continue to eat those food allergies, you can have a long long onset of inflammation. And until we remove the irritant, either the toxin or the food sensitivity, allergy, or intolerance, then we can't really get rid of certain types of inflammation. So there you go. You got the four I's. I call them the four I's of inflammation. And I think it's so important that people address the four I's. Like, go back when you have that, you know, whatever pain you're dealing with, can you play detective and go back and look at the clues? Like, when was the first time this happened for me? Was it after a trip to Mexico when I got that terrible bout of food poisoning? Or was it, in fact, on the ice rink when I fell down and smashed my knee? Like, everyone has that different point of impact. Mm-hmm. If we can figure that out, then we know what to really do in the way of a food prescription to help you heal.
What happens if we don't deal with inflammation? What happens if, you know, we get an arthritis, or we get a pain, or a tendonitis or something, and we don't let it heal? What happens in the long term?
In the long term, it gets worse and worse, and therefore it just takes over our quality of life. And the pain is often the symptom when things get to be really exaggerated. So initially, you might just notice it as an irritation or a loss of function, where maybe your knee doesn't work with the same flexibility that it used to, or you don't have the same strength. But eventually, as the joint deteriorates, you can end up with serious pain and inflammation. And that's when it's really hard to turn that around. But I can tell you, it's never too late. I've had people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s switch off inflammation by addressing their diet and dramatically reduce their need for NSAIDs. Like, a really good example is the introduction of omega-3 fatty acids in the way of a really good quality sustainable fish oil. If you were to take like 2,800 milligrams of EPA and DHA, the forms of fish oil that really are anti-inflammatory, then it's been clinically proven to help reduce your need for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, otherwise known as NSAIDs, by up to 33%, which is really dramatic. So I really encourage everyone that you can do a tremendous amount, even if you're in severe pain. Don't feel that, you know, I'm done for, I have to just suffer through this. At any point, we can heal, because I was on death's door and was able to heal major inflammation in my gut. I had ulcerative colitis, I had arthritis, and I was able to really heal it to the point where I'm 100% in remission.
Tell us a little bit about, what foods really help reduce inflammation.
Mm-hmm, sure. The major ones, I'd love to start with that essential fatty acid piece, because that's just, there's so much data on it. There's 20,000 published studies on omega-3. And you've heard like a few whisperings of you know, controversial stuff around omega-3, but I just want to give everyone assurance that the really good studies are saying that omega-3 is profoundly healing. There's only a couple strange meta-analysis that's done as of late that I think there's a lot of media that's given to studies that are dramatically saying something opposite to what most people are finding, and therefore they get publicity, right? And I'm pretty shocked at when I look at any study that is saying that omega-3s are not as beneficial as first thought. When you look at it, they're very poorly constructed studies. So overall, we're seeing such massive data that omega-3 in the form of especially the pre-converted form, which is the EPA, that's eicosapentaenoic acid, which is a form of omega-3 in fish oil that's really healing. That is one of the most powerful healers of all. And I really encourage people to look for sustainable fish sources. So I love the mackerel, the herring, the sardines, and the anchovies, because they're the smallest swimmers. They're the smallest little fish that reproduce extremely rapidly. I'm really concerned when we move to massive fish. Or right now, there's such an issue with salmon because we're running out, and two, it is a larger fish, so there is some concern around PCBs. So just sticking to those small swimmers is such a great idea. But a lot of people aren't crazy about the taste of small small swimmers, because the average person goes, oh, you know, anchovies or herring or mackerel, they're a stronger fish because they are a cold water fish. So that's why it's just so fun to reach for a really nice lemon flavored oil that's molecularly distilled, so that you can have all the incredible healing benefit, but just use it as a salad dressing or just put it in your smoothie. Those are probably the safest places that you can use it. And apart from that form of omega-3, moving towards the plant-based, the hemp hearts are absolutely extraordinary. Perilla is a small seed coming out of Japan that's barely even in North America yet, but trust me, it will be. And then satcha inchi is becoming more popular, chia, flax, all of those forms of omega-3. Just a reminder that they are plant-based fats, so you need to take a lot of nutrition to convert ALA fat, omega-3 fat, into EPA, which is the anti-inflammatory fat. So to make that conversion, you require vitamin B6, magnesium, and zinc. It's really important to have lots of nutrition on board so that you can actually spin and convert through an enzymatic chain your omega-3s, the plant-based, into that EPA that your body desperately needs.
You know, Julie, maybe I should ask you, what foods really cause inflammation? Which sure. foods really flare up inflammation of somebody?
Yeah, that's not one of my favorite topics of all, because it's just so crazy how much we eat inflammatory foods. If I can pick on my absolute biggest contender, it would be the French fry and the potato chip. And the reason why is the multiple insults that you give your body when you consume, say, a standard potato chip. One, it's genetic. It's often a genetically modified oil that is being fried in. Two, the potato itself is a nightshade vegetable, and it has a very high amount of a toxic alkaloid called solanine. Now, for some people, solanine passes through their system without a problem, but for about 1/10 of the population, they become sensitive to this alkaloid, and if they eat it, it can cause swelling in the joints. So I just want people to check in. If they have rheumatoid arthritis or if they have any sort of osteoarthritis, could they just check in and see whether nightshade vegetables cause a flare? I just recently was working with a client who swore up and down she couldn't figure out what was going on in her diet. I finally got her to give up nightshade vegetables for 2 weeks. Her pain went from a 9 to a 2. Like, it's just amazing over and over again how I see this. So then you've got this potentially inflammatory vegetable. And what do we do with it? We slice it really thin, and then we deep fry it in extremely high temperature oil. So when you take a chip or a potato chip or a French fry, and you heat it in 400 degree oil, it dramatically oxidizes that oil. So often you're frying in, say, genetically modified canola, and there's a lot of open carbon. There's lots of open spots on the carbon chain because it is an omega-3. There's omega-3 in there, and there's omega-6 in there. And it's very, very vulnerable to oxidation. So I'm very concerned that when you heat the oil at high temperatures, you're going to have tons of free radical damage from that oil. And then we've got the added issue of when you drop a potato chip into oil, you create this other toxin called acrylamide. And that happens every time a carbohydrate hits high temperature frying oil. So we've got this acrylamide, which is literally toxic and inflammatory to every cell in your body, plus the nightshade, plus the toxic frying oil, plus the genetically modified oil. So you can see how the average junk food, and it goes beyond just potato chips. It goes into corn chips. It goes into so many of these fast food items, you know, everything from Bugles to deep fried pita chips to you name it. All of these fried things, I think, are the most toxic and inflammatory foods we can possibly have. So what do we do? Because it's so delicious. Like, everyone's like, how do I get off that? Because it's one of my favorite things. Well, I think you're just craving the salt and the oil in that food. So for the salt, we crave salt because it helps to blunt off our stress response. So can we give ourselves salt that's healing? We want to reach for that that pink and that gray, wonderful, unrefined sea salt that has 65 trace minerals that heals every part of our body and gives us the electrolytes we need to thrive. So we reach for good salts, and that's available in I imagine you have it in your store because it's just so delicious that people are snatching it up everywhere. And then we put that on a food that would be dehydrated instead of deep fried. So if you love chips, can we bake them off on in a lower temperature? Are you willing to try on even something beyond the root chips? Are you willing to go to something like a kale chip where you have outrageous nutrition and it's dehydrated at a low enough temperature that you have all the benefit and none of the harm of the high temperature frying? So that's the big thing for me, is instead of saying to people, oh, it's wrong, it's bad, it's evil, you must stay away from it, it's like, okay, here's the honest truth, but I'm not saying you can go without flavor, and I know that you can't go without salt and crispiness and that crunch that everyone craves. We just got to find something that delivers all that same craving, that gives you what you want, but in a package that builds you up instead of tears you down.
We're talking with Julie Daniluk about her book, Meals That Heal Inflammation. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out from Julie some of the things that you can do if you're in pain.